The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This movie does have so many good moments that I do think ultimately it'll be easy for most people to overlook the stuff that doesn't work quite as well.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined as always by the voice of CinemaSins, Jeremy Scott.
Hello.
And from Music Video Sins, Barrett Scher.
Assemble!
And today we're going to be doing a mini-pod.
Mini-pod!
Indie game pod.
Of Avengers Endgame.
There will be 30 seconds of non-spoiler talk.
Yeah, seriously, we really...
It's kind of going to have to be like that, right?
Yeah, I think
anyway,
so.
We did our last on our summer preview. We predicted how much this movie would make, and even though we shot for the record, it still went way over that for domestic.
Yeah, man.
We were like, oh, it'll probably make $300 million. Actually, it made $350 million, and the actuals aren't even out yet, and they're supposed to be even higher than the estimates.
Man.
One thing we were pretty dead on though was that it made $1 billion worldwide. And the only reason why I downshot it was because I didn't know that for Infinity War, China wasn't a part of the opening weekend.
Oh, seriously? Oh.
But China was part of the opening weekend this week.
Wow.
And it made $350 million there.
Yep.
And that's the reason why it shot up. Now, if China had not been a part of this, it would have been that $700 or $800 million that we were, you know, sort of maybe possibly going to be. But anyway, it's made a ton of money. Everybody's seen it. What did we think about it?
Yeah, we got to just do general things and then spoiler warning pretty quick.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not going first.
This is not, honestly, this is not a mini pod that I'm prepared for. I watched it on Friday. I still feel like there's so much to process about this 3-hour movie with time travel in it that my opinion now is going to be different from what my opinion is later.
Well, I'm glad you said that.
Okay, so I'll go. Now I will go because you guys are making me feel very comfortable. I came out an AA+. By the next morning, it was down to a B. And if I had to grade it today, it'd probably be about an A-, B+.
Okay, so I've seen it twice.
Oh, that's the other thing. You've seen it twice.
I wish I hadn't seen it twice.
Oh, yeah?
No.
Because I know what you're saying. I wanted to see it twice, but I wish I hadn't seen it twice.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, this is very non-spoilery, but this is not a movie that you want to think too much about.
No.
This is a movie that you want to experience. And as an experience, it is an A+, I think. If I had seen it twice, I wish it had been like I did with Infinity War, like 3 months later or something like that. Where I kind of forgot about the spectacle of it and that kind of thing. But that was so fresh that it kind of, it still moved me, but less so. And I was more focused on the plot, which has some issues.
The grade that keeps coming up into my head is B- for this.
Interesting.
But because there are some emotional things, and I damn near cried in this movie.
You did too.
I will say that it's a solid B for me.
That's
everything else beyond that, though, right now, I'm not on board with.
Well, and I think we all reserve the right to change our grade in 6 months. Because this movie is so much about the feels that it can overwhelm. And that's why my grade went down in the 24 hours after seeing it, is I started to think about it.
Yep.
And I even message Dicer, and I was like, this movie is waning hard the more I think about it. Yep. Like, I just spent an hour trying to figure out how a person did such and such, and there's one thing that happens in this movie. I've asked three people that love it, A+, love it. And I asked them about this one thing, and all three of them have said some version of, maybe just don't ask that. And that is this movie in a nutshell.
Yep.
And the highs are so high, you can't almost cry. You can't have that euphoric, I'm going to have goosebumps today twice talking about this movie, because what works, works really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
But what doesn't work, I think, over time is only going to stand out more and more.
Yep.
Yes. I think that's what the problem is that I think a lot of people have made the impulse buy of the I love this series. I love this franchise. It nearly made me cry. It must be great, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then 10 years down the road, you tell me if you're going to feel the same way. I may end up liking it more. I don't know. But I had, with Infinity War, I was like, this is an A immediately. First watched it. Watched it a second time that weekend. This is still an A. I really like this. This movie I wanted to see a second time. I just didn't have time to do it.
You don't have an extra 3 hours.
I didn't have an extra 3 hours.
Well, that's not even counting the 9 trailers. So
yeah. Oh, yeah. 25 minutes
of
trailers.
Well, that was it. Last night, I was going to watch it. I had, my plan was, if I'm up for it, I'll watch it after Game of Thrones tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, it's going to be at least 9 before I even leave here,
mm-hmm,
to go to a theater that's probably going to play a 9:30 or 10 o'clock. Of course, that Game of Thrones went to like 9:20.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be, you know, 9 trailers and a 3-hour movie. Obviously, you don't have to watch the credits in this one, but I was like, man, it'd be 1:30 before I get back.
It's an investment.
Yeah.
The only reason that I saw it the second time, because Chris and I saw it, oh, so gorgeous, 10 a.m. show.
Oh, I bet that was nice. I bet it was still sold out, though.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it pretty much was. It was definitely close to it, if not. But yeah, the theater, it was like a Friday night. It was crazy. There's hordes of bros and several women coming in there, too. Mm-hmm. You could tell this was an event, and it was 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And had a very pleasant experience. I got sick as hell this weekend, but my son said, this is going to happen. Before the weekend's over, because he wasn't going back to school not having seen this movie.
Oh yeah, you can't do that.
And so we went out and saw it, and anytime I see a movie with my kid or with my family, it heightens the experience. So that was definitely a good thing. But yeah, on the second viewing, the movie itself.
All right, let's get into spoilers.
Let's do it.
Luke's father is actually Darth Vader. She's the sister and the daughter. They just
No. I'm reading the books.
Oh boy.
Yeah, where do we begin with the spoilers on this one?
I have a whole list, but I don't even know where to begin.
I mean, really, you can just start going from the beginning, I guess. At the beginning, you have Tony and Nebula on the ship, kind of like wasting time until they die.
Can I ask you something real quick about this? Because this informs the rest of this.
Mm-hmm.
This scene, this setting is unnecessary. And that is one of my biggest problems with this entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
Is the only thing about it is setting up an emotional impact. But as quick as this scene starts, it's a misnomer to say it because it lasts for a long time. It's over.
Mm-hmm.
And Captain Marvel shows up, and then bada bing, bada boom, we're done. It didn't need to happen, and that's my issue.
I've already seen people like fansplaining Captain Marvel by saying the end scene from the Captain Marvel movie really happened. She showed up and said, "Where's Fury?" And they said, "First, go save Iron Man." And that's how she knew where he was, floating in space to go save them. As opposed to she was on her way back answering Fury's page and just happened to bump into Tony's ship.
That actually makes sense to
me. But the movie doesn't say any of that.
No, it doesn't.
The movie suggests the end scene from Captain Marvel didn't happen that way and just kind of retcons it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the things that's a little, like, takes you a little out of it at first because they know her immediately in this movie and we don't get to see that sort of first part of the interaction. It's a 3-hour movie. I get why they would cut that, and they would know that most people have seen Captain Marvel at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But that threw me off for a long while until the stupid ass Captain Marvel mid-credit scene.
A lot of my gripes with this movie come from Captain Marvel in that ultimately I feel like we were misled and that they did make her so powerful, they had to ship her away for the entirety of the film and have her Ex Machina back in at the end and do really, really strong shit. That seems a little frustrating because I feel like you made a big public deal about she's the future leader of the Avengers. This film ushers in that era. I don't really think it does. I don't think ultimately we need a lot. This film does not need to be 3 hours and 2 minutes long.
Paper football on the spaceship is what I'm saying. Yes, yes, yes. Come on. You could fill that time with a scene of her going down to the Avengers and saying, hey, get Tony.
Yeah.
Same amount of goddamn time.
Yeah.
Same amount of goddamn time.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah. Well, and this. Okay. So the movie deals with time travel. And
yes, surprisingly,
really, I think yada yada's all over every theory
of
time travel.
Not forget also Tony Stark is like, this is impossible. Yeah. And then like within 5 hours,
I did it.
Don't you think
that's it?
That just for once, like, you know, if he's had this in his mind, he's so obsessed with things. He would have figured this shit out a lot sooner than that. He would have like, man, you know what? If I just put a Mobius strip and then reverse it.
Put your thing down, flip it, and reverse
it. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man, it's the most yada yada. Like, they throw out all these time travel movies, Back to the Future, Terminator, and then they poo-poo all of them. They make a joke. Oh, you mean Back to the Future is full of shit? Well, yes, but it doesn't go so far out of its way to be full of shit like you're about to do.
Yes.
This movie essentially says single timeline time travel theory and multiverse timeline time travel theory are both correct.
Yes.
That we can create a separate timeline by stealing a stone from the past. And then Bill and Ted, like, reverse Bill and Ted ourselves by remembering to go back and put it where it was.
Yeah.
And they yada yada the fuck over how that happens.
Yeah. In fact, when it becomes time for them to go back and replace all the stones, it's just, oh, it was done.
Yeah, Cap did that. Now, I want to know how he went to Vormir and said, well, here's this stone that, by the way, can I have Black Widow back for the stone? Like, maybe?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, can I ask a question about this? I know we're
kind
of bumping all over the place.
We are all over the place because this movie is all over
the
place.
No, it's the way it's going to have to be.
Yeah. Wasn't there a big thing made in Guardians of the Galaxy about nobody being able to hold an Infinity Stone?
Yes.
Every mother... Fucking Clint wakes up on Vormir with...
Now...
Here you go, man.
We know that at least a couple of them have things around them.
Yeah.
That, like the Tesseract.
Right.
And the one that Chris Pratt steals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Has things around them. I don't know. Not all of them, though. Yeah, I think they pretty much are just like grabbing them like they're fucking quarters.
Yeah, they are. I mean, Hulk takes the time stone in his hand, and of course he's Hulk and everything. But like, there's no reaction of any kind.
Yeah, he's not a god.
Yeah, so. It's a comic book movie. It's a comic book movie.
But don't tell us that nobody can touch it unless they're gods.
And they made a big fucking deal about it.
They made a big deal about it.
See, as much as I love... The time travel gave us most of the awesome from this movie. Like, the small moments, like Tony talking to his dad, Cap in the elevator and not having a fight.
And saying Hail Hydra, which is great.
Which is a callback to the comics, by the way, because in the comics, he went evil and announced it by saying Hail Hydra.
Oh, seriously?
So that was a wink because fans hated it. Cap fighting Cap was fantastic.
Yeah.
I love all the things the time travel in this movie allowed us to see. It breaks if you think about it for even 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Well, 30 seconds.
Especially when you're thinking about what's happening in those movies at that time. None of that. I was sitting there going, wait a minute, was this going on at the time that this was going on?
Right.
The whole thing down in the lobby with Robert Redford and everything, I was like, was that actually?
Yeah, how did they get past him in the first place then?
Yeah.
Right?
But that was all supposed to be set after the Battle of New York, right?
Yes.
This is all like in the aftermath.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cap's walking around and he thinks it's Loki, fights himself. How does our Cap get out of that? He says, what does he say? Bucky's alive. Now, what about Winter Soldier? Halfway through Winter Soldier, he finds out it's Bucky. He doesn't know it's Bucky right at the first that's trying to kill him.
But I guess this is the part. The thing is, though, is that I think everything they do in the past, they just don't give a shit about.
Yes.
And then they'll come back and replace the stone and everything's back to normal. You know,
I don't even think some of those stones can go back because Tony's dead. Do we really think at some point in this journey he turned to Cap and said, when we went back to the 70s, I went down to level X, 100 yards to the west, and stole the Tesseract from this one safe that you don't even know about? How does he know where to put that back?
I think he could have found it, eventually.
Don't forgive this shit!
No.
Captain America doesn't know. He's not able to put all that shit back!
Dude, that is the least of my worries, because A, you're absolutely right in that they totally yada yada, like, what impact this has on any timeline. Mm. Every single thing has an impact on these timelines. But then, the central question that I have in both viewings, where are the fucking stones in the present day? They don't have them? Because the Ancient One is saying that the stones guide everything. And if you fuck with the timeline and all that stuff, you have alternate realities. In 2023, where the majority of this movie takes place, they don't have any stones. Those stones literally went back to where they were, and in the present day, they don't have them.
So you're saying that because those stones are so important to life as we know it, and they now no longer exist in the very end of the movie. Mm-hmm. They no longer exist, is what you're saying?
Yes, that's correct.
But aren't we? Didn't we say that Cap has replaced? No, actually,
I think the movie is saying Cap replaced them, and everything we saw in Infinity War still happens. And everything we saw in the beginning of this movie where Thanos destroys the stones still happens.
But it's now a new timeline where they get to live their lives as if that none of that happened.
Well, that's the thing. They want their cake. They want their icing. They want to put the cake down their pants. So they want to rub it all over.
So in Lost, where they started doing the time travel and there was the guy who was like, whatever happened, happened, which is, I think it was the Jeremy Davies character, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Whatever happened, happened. That's what they're saying, I think, with when they go back in time. It's like it's for that timeline. Of course, then you have the problem of you're going back in a new timeline.
Yeah.
In the back, if you're doing the Back to the Future 2, which is what they're clearly doing, if you go back in, unless you can specifically pinpoint the timeline you can go back to. Is that what they were saying? Because I did go to the bathroom when they were explaining time travel.
Yeah, I know. I thought that was bad. I mean, anytime is bad timing. But yeah, so Banner Hulk says, basically, I'm paraphrasing here. Mm-hmm. Basically, whatever you experience, you going back to the past is part of your future, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or
is
part of your present.
Right.
And therefore, your future is inclusive of that time loop. It's basically saying, fuck everybody else. Your experience, whether you go forward or back in time, is part of your temporal experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they make sense of
this.
So
they're not targeting specific timelines when they go back, then?
No.
They're targeting specific timelines in their own experience. That's how, and that was one thing that I think you predicted, was that one of the Avengers' experience with the Infinity Stones is going to inform how they get it back. They have to have experienced some sort of interaction with the Infinity Stones within their timeline go back to this. That's why Thor goes back to Dark World. That's why
they do and they don't. And this is where this is, I think, the movie's biggest problem is that 80% of it is great. They're like, okay, we got this figured out. Travel back to the past. We got Cap fighting Cap. We got Tony talking to his dad. All that is great. Now, who do we have left over that we can send to Vormir?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because Scarlet or Black Widow and
every time
Iron Hawkeye have no connection to the Soul Stone.
Yep.
There's no reason for them to go there.
Mm-hmm.
The Soul Stone rules are completely broken compared to the last movie, where I feel like Thanos had to sacrifice someone he loved, i.e. kill them. And here, they're both trying to sacrifice themselves.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think that's different. And I also think it undercuts Gamora's death.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like then you got Rhodey and Nebula on this quest to Guardians of the Galaxy. It just feels like we had some spare parts and some spare stones.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to figure out some kind of story to make. But the other stuff we did over here was so great.
Yeah.
Hopefully you won't look too hard.
That's the whole movie. That's the whole movie.
Yeah.
That scene led to, I thought of an outtake for the Sins video.
Yeah.
Because This has only happened one other time in my life, by the way. An outtake has just come. And the first time it happened, I didn't even know what outtakes were because that one that we did for Lord of the Rings, I believe it was Fellowship of the Ring, when Gandalf was reading from that tome, and there's that line drawn after all the stuff that they've been writing,
mm-hmm.
and we did that Monty Python thing over it and everything. It's like the castle, whatever. This one, I actually thought of a Lord of the Rings outtake during it, because after she falls and dies and everything, and they all come back to the present and everything, they're like, "What happened to her?" And I just thought of, he fell.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know. Chris leaned over and said, "I just thought of an outtake," and I spent the next 5 minutes not even watching the movie, like thinking, "Like, what the fuck was that?"
Because it's exactly the way that when they ask what happened to Gandalf in Two Towers, yeah. and Gimli's like, "He fell."
I do feel like pacing wise, I'm still ultimately going to wish they'd done three movies here and given us a Thanos origin story,
mm-hmm.
and sucked some of Infinity War into that. And then take the first 20 minutes of this where they go kill Thanos and make that the end of Infinity War, where the snap decimated everybody. They got vengeance, but they still feel like shit. That would be a little bit cooler of a downer that I might think is more permanent. And then let this movie play from the point Ant-Man shows up on. By the way, do we want to spend any time talking about that rat?
Oh, well, sure.
Because I legit hated that rat.
Mm-hmm.
Then I loved him. And now I hate him again.
He was piped in straight from The Departed, wasn't he?
Yes, exactly.
It's the guy from Mission Impossible, and then he's in The Departed.
Yesterday, I tweeted out what I thought was this sick joke, and I was like, remember that guy who started a petition to edit the rat out of that one movie? And like the first 25 responses were like, what are you talking about? And I was like, forget it. I deleted it. I was like, I'm getting rid of that tweet. Nobody gets my joke.
Before we leave this section of the movie, the beginning, and I agree with you 100%. If we had hit that 5 years later to start this movie, I think it could have been good, because I actually genuinely felt for these people in the lead up until, let's get the band back together for time travel and all that stuff, because it was a very human look at like what these, they don't have a baddie to defeat anymore. They mm-hmm. took care of Thanos. There's nothing that they can do right now. They just have to deal with their feelings of depression. Cap's hosting a fucking like group meeting, mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Yep.
And yes, it's a little bit of a gear shift from the typical rah-rah Avengers movie, but I loved that stuff.
Well, the small mm-hmm. stuff works great. Tony and his daughter.
It's beautiful.
The opening with Hawkeye and his daughter.
Yes.
All those small moments I thought were the film's strongest
yes.
points. And then at the end, when literally every character in the goddamn universe is on screen and it's all dark and gray and fiery and smoky, that's the part that doesn't work for me at all.
Oh, really?
I mean, parts of it in there work,
mm.
but I mean, visually, it looks so much like the fight on Titan in Infinity War. It's everything is ruined and gray, and it's because we have to have that for our green screen effects.
Yeah.
And then we're doing a graduation ceremony roll call of all the characters, and please hold your applause until everyone has gotten their diploma. And like, I loved the moment when they're like, she's got help, and every single badass woman from the MCU mm-hmm. shows up. I was like, yes! Then they undercut it by her not needing any help. She just goes light beam directly to where she wants to go.
Mm-hmm. It's so weird that we're jumping around. But it's so weird that like when everybody comes on screen, and especially the whole on your left thing,
mm-hmm.
fucking, I could have gotten out of my seat and like run around the auditorium screaming
it.
How awesome it was.
That was fantastic.
And you know, everybody coming in with their own little thing. I absolutely hated that girl power
did scene. You? Interesting.
Because all of a sudden, only the female superheroes are going to show up to help clear the way for Captain Marvel, who doesn't need it in the first place.
Yeah.
She will have help. And then, like, fucking Gamora comes in from, like, who knows where.
Yeah.
She doesn't, can she even understand
what's
going on? Nebula's
coming
right
in from over there. Like, they're all the way over here. But all of a sudden, they mm-hmm. converge. I thought that was forced. Now, again, this is where I need to turn my brain off, because visually, thematically, that's a very cool moment. But I was like, God damn it. Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, Black Panther, you can't get in this shot.
Yeah, for sure. That's a moment where you kind of have to just let the symbolism be its symbolism, because that's what it is. But it does get undercut by the fact that Captain Marvel just goes over there and beats him. So, again, with all those big, huge fights with 100 million people in it, and it's dark and everything, I could not have cared less about that. You know he's going to get killed this time because he doesn't have the stones this time. And then somehow, like, okay,
you're on it. This is the question I keep asking. Everybody tells me not to ask. How the fuck did Tony get the stones away from him? Do you have an answer? Even fucking Thanos thinks they're still on his glove because he snaps. He doesn't know anything's missing.
Look, okay, so there's a lot to unpack in that. I think there is a way that Tony could extract, using that iron gauntlet or whatever, to extract those pretty quickly, like magnetically or whatever.
Is that supposed to be the gauntlet Hulk had on?
A similar one.
No, because see, the movie makes it look like his own gauntlet somehow assimilates the stones in there.
I think he put
that
program into his armor, into that like nanobite thing.
That is a huge cheat.
I agree. The huger cheat is that when Thanos looks up, now there's a fucking thumb stone. That's the time stone, right?
He should see the thumb stone.
He's looking right at that motherfucker, and he's like, yeah, I got this shit. And then like, what? How can he not fucking see this? By the way, the fucking snap, like, this is like, can't you wish for more wishes? You can do anything with the snap, right?
Right.
Like, I want only the people that were dusted to come
apparently
back.
Apparently so.
I want only Thanos' bullshit to
Iron Man
to
becomes
go
Aladdin.
Yes. He's like, okay, and go. Well, and like Hulk is like, I tried to get Nat back. Why can't you wish for more wishes then on the fucking snap?
Or why does it have to be a snap?
Why does it have to be a snap?
Why did he go for the snap instead of reality stoning himself to some other whatever place? Like, I am pretty proud of my predictions. In that, one of my main predictions was they would go back in time and try and collect the stones. And I wrongly predicted they would repeat the Endgame or the Infinity War ending, where he says you should have aimed for the head, but I did predict that he would then snap, only to realize the stones are missing and then something else. I did predict that a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
They yada yada, like, when Tony has them, I'm like, well, I get where this is going now, but could you have not given me anything?
Yeah.
Anything?
No, you're right.
Those stones?
You're right.
I kept thinking that the time stone was going to be the reason why they got back. Like, I thought that towards the end of Infinity War, with Thanos being a little bit morose about Gamora and everything, and there's that whole scene where he sees baby Gamora and all that, I thought that he was going to say, maybe there's a way I can do this without sacrificing her in some way. And I thought that was how they were going to go about this. Then when the movie started and they kill Thanos and he said that the stones are gone and he says they are atoms, I thought then that they would go into the quantum realm and get all the atoms back together, and then they would turn back time that way, and they would still have to defeat Thanos because Thanos at that point will still be wanting the stones, and so on and so forth. Now, the way they did it obviously gives them a chance to do something that's not gliding over the same territory that we counted. So I'm glad that they didn't do that, but give me a chance to be in a room with screenwriters for a while. I could come up with a scenario using that synopsis and come up with a movie that I think everybody would enjoy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not trying to like get a screenwriting job on Marvel movies. I'm just saying that, you know, that's what I thought when he said they were atoms. It's very specific. He said they're atoms now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought the quantum realm was going to turn. That was going to be what they did.
Yeah, and in the end, the quantum realm just became this yada conduit.
Notice how they explained themselves about the amount of time Michelle Pfeiffer was in there in this movie. They didn't do it in Ant-Man and the Wasp,
right,
by the way.
Right.
She was in there for 30 or 40 years or whatever. And in this one, Paul Rudd's like, oh, it was only 5 hours for me and everything.
Yeah.
You could have said that in Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yep. Yeah, and then I get really lost if I start asking about, like, some of my deeper questions are really quite useless. Like, Thanos had to have built his own time machine in order to bring his ship through, because all Nebula gave him was Pym particles.
Mm-hmm.
And according to Dicer, who's seen the movie twice, and maybe you can agree, there's something in there, throwaway liney, that Nebula was able to tell him how to build it because she had been next to the one that Tony built, even though she didn't help him build it. Because she saw a time machine and used it, she was somehow able to. Her memories gave the knowledge to Thanos to build his own time machine.
I think he was relying on his team of geniuses, like Ebony Maw and those guys.
So they just created their own time machine once they knew it was possible.
Correct.
Is that not yada pretty hard?
I mean, if you buy that Tony can do it in 5 hours, you can.
Well,
do
I
it.
Don't
exactly. I'm just saying that Ebony Maw could probably do it in fucking five hours or whatever. Too
that explanation is better than like Nebula's memory.
Well, yeah, that was the.
Well, also though, she could have like recorded that, right? Like the specs and stuff like that, and maybe she could have transmitted maybe. That.
This is the plot point that I did not like at all. Was that somehow future Nebula and past Nebula have some sort of internet connected?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're out of nowhere.
Like, I don't recall there ever. I know that the story of her is that every time she fought and lost, Thanos cut some part of her off and made her more machine. I didn't know that included a modem.
Right behind the eye socket.
Hilarious. And he pulled it off. It's like, yeah, that's how do you guys feel about Thor in this movie?
Okay. Let me start off with grief. Because I tweeted last night that I have complicated feelings about Thor in this movie. And immediately, good natured comments, but like people are saying, you know, he's dealing with his grief in his way. And that's how people would isolate and, you know, drink to excess and that kind of thing. If that's the case for his mopey-ass, fat-ass performance and all that stuff, then they treat grief as a joke in this movie.
And alcoholism.
Every time, it's based on the blubber suit, or I don't know if he gained weight for this actual role.
It's probably a blubber.
It looked like a blubber suit.
And he's crying about his mom, and Rocket's smacking him around. Every time, it's play for laughs.
It is.
So no, I'm not buying that. The first time you see Fat Thor, I laugh my ass off. I thought it was hilarious. The first time that Downey calls him Lebowski, I fucking laugh my ass off.
Yeah.
After that, they keep coming back to that, and it's like, okay, we get the joke. It's over
it's
now.
Also not remotely new. I've seen this before, both treated well and making grief into a joke. Mm-hmm. We've even seen Tony in Iron Man 2 go down the bottle of alcoholism, and I just feel like there are... Is that the only way we can make Thor funny? He was pretty funny in Ragnarok.
Yes,
and he
was.
Wasn't drunk the whole time.
Yeah, and he wasn't like green. Well, I mean, he was Loki and Odin had died, but like, yeah, he was quippy.
But I've never gotten the sense that he was grieving over his mom in any of these things.
No.
And then we go back, it goes back to, you know, goes back to Asgard, and he's like, oh yeah, my mom, I need to talk to her because she's going to die today and all that. And I was like, don't remember him even shedding a tear the last time that happened, when you know, it was like, you know, I mean, his relationship was with his father, really, and he had a couple of nice moments with the mom, but the other thing about this getting fat and drinking and everything is like, wasn't he already doing all of that?
Yeah, how does that work when you're a fucking god?
He's a god, so it really is just like, let's just kind of like forget that he's a god, and all that excess now catches up to him somehow. Apparently in between times, all the times he's been drinking, you know, vats of ale and everything, he's also been doing like, you know, chin-ups and shit, you know.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Okay, so one of the movie's best moments for me that gave me chills was when Cap starts wielding Mjolnir, the hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Leads to some great stuff when Thor double wields both. Leads to that whole thing, no, you have the small one, I'll take this new bigger one. But when I didn't understand when Cap started calling lightning.
I don't know if that's endemic to the weapon or how that worked.
Haven't we always seen Thor literally lightning all over his body when that happens? Like, it's his eyes?
Pretty
like,
sure, yeah.
Like, when the lightning happened, I was like, wait, I thought that was a Thor thing. Yeah. He's the god of thunder and lightning, right? And they're not the god of hammers, right? So the hammer comes along. Yes, he's worthy of wielding it, but does that mean he can open the Bifrost, too? I mean, like, I'm so confused so. About
it. No, I mean, that... I had the same thought when I was watching this in real time the first time. Was like, man, that's a cool moment. It really makes no fucking sense. But it's so cool, I don't care right now.
Yeah, you know? That is one of those things that you can end up just saying, I don't believe that shit, but it's cool.
Yeah, and now he's somehow worthier enough to wield it than he was in Age of Ultron when he made it wiggle it a little
bit. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
I thought it was a cool moment. But yeah, you didn't need all the fucking lightning effects. You could have just had him beat ass with it.
Yeah, it just didn't, it didn't make much sense to me. I don't know. I mean...
I got one question, and I do want to get to stuff that we do like, because in particular the performances I want to talk about. But then, once again, just like Infinity War, even in a 3-hour movie, you get so many people in here that you can't... Sure, he doesn't have any lines in this. She barely makes an appearance.
Yep.
Doctor Strange only has like 2 lines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bucky gets a line, but fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck you know? That guy. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many... There's so many characters in here. Black Panther's in there for a hot minute.
Yep.
Peter Parker's in there for a hot minute. I understand that you have to bring them back, but that's like 45 minutes of a fight.
Well, and I tell you, that whole thing, as emotional as it is to see everybody coming back into the frame and everything like that, reminded me of Anchorman 2.
Yes. Man, that is such a good, that's such a good comparison.
Analysis I come to this podcast
that is
for.
Such a good comparison.
Because you want it, right? You want it. And yeah. Then it goes on so long, you don't want it anymore.
No, you're right. You're right. I mean, there are some little moments in there, like Benedict Wong and Doctor Strange, where he's like, you wanted more?
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, they just get total short shrift. It's just like Infinity War, where, you know, fucking Black Panther's in there for 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Scarlet Witch has like a little thing, but like, God damn, I mean,
I may be the only person in the world that loved this moment, but when she says, you took everything from me, and he goes, I don't even know who you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
That
I
was
like
a good moment. I think there were a few laughs in our theater when he said that.
Yeah. She also, by the way, seeing this on the second viewing, she breaks his fucking unibrow thing, that the sword thing.
Weapon?
Yeah, his weapon.
You call that the unibrow?
The unibrow.
That's great.
And then, like, when Captain Marvel goes back to fight him, like, he's got it back together again somehow.
Oh, I didn't know.
So that's fantastic. Anyway, I just want to say that Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans both put in, like, I think, amazing performances.
Yes.
Like legitimate acting, great performances.
The moment that he gets back down and tells him about, you know, about how he failed and everything like that, that moment is some of the best Robert Downey Jr.'s ever been. And he's got, I know a lot of you people only know him as Iron Man.
Yeah.
But look back at a lot of the movies he made before he was Iron Man. Downey is a great actor.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you sort of forget that when you watch a movie like this. That's some of the best he's ever done. And he's got a lot of like great moments back in the 90s and the 80s that, you know, you could put up against that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, yeah, he's really good. And Chris Evans, yeah, for sure.
Chris
is having a great, great moment in this.
He's stretched in this movie. In Winter Soldier, he's you could see he's conflicted and stuff like that. And he definitely steps out of that first Avenger type of role. But like I really felt it with, mm-hmm. with this one. I did not feel the old Joe Biden moment at the end. where he's, you know, logistics aside, like I'm like, that's Joe Biden.
Yeah. That could be misinterpreted, actually, you know, depending on how you met Joe Biden moment.
Yeah.
I did love his little dance with
yeah.
You mean in the fifth ending to this movie?
Yes.
Yes. But again, this is, I mean, when Return of the King happened, mm-hmm. I think most of us were like, euphoria! And then it was months, maybe years later, where we were all finally able to joke about the never-ending endings.
Yeah.
It's that way with this movie. We're so euphoric about him dancing with her and the funeral for Tony. But which, by the way, Ty Simpkins is there.
Yeah.
The little kid from Iron Man
3.
I
thought that was cool.
Why is that cool?
To me, it shows that he had an impact outside of just the Avengers.
I get that, but okay, yes. I'm doing to this what you were doing to the other scene. I want logistics here. Like with all the women heroes coming together in the middle of the battle. I want logistics on this. Who called him? Who said, oh, Tony died. You need to come to his private estate funeral that only superheroes are at.
He's got a contact list that's great. And Pepper knows him, I'm sure.
How does Pepper know him?
I'm sure he's told her about the kid that he met in Tennessee.
He sent that kid a bunch of technology, and that was that. That kid was out of place at that funeral.
He touched that kid.
And I'm pretty sure that kid touched him, too. That took me out, and maybe it didn't for you, and I'm willing to see a different perspective.
I actually didn't know who
there.
It was when I first saw it. I had to go home and read it. Yeah.
I felt like everybody else made sense that they would actually be there. And the only way this makes sense is if the kid finds out about Tony's death and the funeral details and decides to show up.
Yeah, I bet you Pepper called him up. She was like, hey, kid.
Well, then where's everybody else from that movie that she didn't call?
Well, he didn't really care about anybody else in that movie, right?
Well,
he didn't care about that kid. Dad's leave. No need to be a pussy about it.
Yeah, it's true.
He gave that kid gifts because the kid let him hide in his garage, not because they had some moment.
By the way, Gwyneth Paltrow has a great moment there to the end, too, when the big Tony death scene.
Yeah, where she tells him to go and rest.
Tells him he can rest now and everything.
I thought that was great.
Because at first she's like, I'm going to be strong, and I'm going to be like, this is finally, you know, this is something that, you know, I think needs to happen and everything, and then breaks down after she says all of that. Mm-hmm. Really well done there.
She's such a good actor. She's been wasted in this entire series.
Yeah.
This is actually in Iron Man 3 where she's featured.
Yeah,
she's wasted in
this
that.
This is the best I think she's been used.
I think so.
It could be that she wanted it to be that way, though. It, she's got kids at home. She's, you know, enjoying coming in for a couple scenes and then
$6 million.
And then
I did just recently watch Iron Man, the first one, and she is terrific in that one. She's definitely featured more heavily. But yeah, I think overall she's just been kind of
man. When they had that moment in the final battle where everybody was like, "What's that noise? Do you hear that noise?" and it turned out to be like Captain Marvel showing up.
Yep.
I had a brief flicker that it was going to be like some Marvel bad guy like Galactus or something like even worse than Thanos, like showing up and everybody's just like, oh fuck, and then they would go to credits or something.
Well,
I think that would have been rad.
Yeah, I don't think this is the way the time travel works in this movie, but when I first saw a ship come in and start blowing away everything, I thought it was possible that it was that Hydra ship that they built in Winter Soldier.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Because after Captain America thinks he's given the other Captain America a solid and saying, you know, Hydra still exists, maybe he, you know, takes missteps where Hydra ends up back in their timeline. Ooh. And that was the first brief thing that when I first saw that ship come in and blowing away stuff, I was like, oh shit. But you know, then it was completely neglects that, you know, Nebula did the time machine thing and brought him back and brought Thanos back.
Yeah. Captain Marvel, we talked a little bit about it. It's so frustrating in this movie because she's fighting Thanos before Thanos even gets any Infinity Stones, right?
Yes.
She fights a little bit. He takes on, by the way, the three most powerful Avengers without any Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, he was able to barely beat them on Titan because he had four of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, the power.
But like, all of a sudden, like, you know, he can fucking tear up these three, and then Captain Marvel, after he's torn up these three, is just, I don't get it. I know that there's always been a power issue, but they make a big thing about him pulling out, when he does get the gauntlet on, pulling out that stone and beating Captain Marvel for a second.
Mm-hmm.
But he was doing that beforehand.
By the way, we almost had yet another character. This doesn't matter in the end because they do chop off Thanos' head at the beginning.
Mm.
But we had yet another character push Thanos out of the gridlock that he was in to yell at him about killing somebody. And it and if this was it happened somewhere later in the movie, it would have been their big, you know, plot ex machina bullshit.
Yeah.
But in this one, it's okay because they ended up killing him anyway.
Right.
But I can't remember which character it was that pushes him out of that. They had him in a stranglehold.
Oh,
and they're like, you killed
Banner. Yeah,
yeah,
Banner.
You killed him, blah, blah, blah. Fucking stop it. You motherfuckers.
Speaking of Banner, did you guys buy the whole Hulk thing? It didn't bother me all that much.
It's not a big deal, but still, in the Infinity War, he was battling to try to become Hulk for so long that they just end up going, well, why don't we just do half and half?
Yeah.
And how? How'd that happen?
Yeah.
I'd like to know.
They talked it out.
Yeah.
That's literally the explanation, right?
He talked it out. The Hulk is the cure, and he's not the problem. I spent 17 months in gamma radiation.
Yeah.
And bada bing, bada boom,
Bob Jerome.
Want to take a picture.
I thought he looked good CG-wise.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As much as an obviously not real thing can look good next to humans.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't understand the need to go in that direction character-wise.
Me too.
Didn't make a ton of sense for me. I did love when he has to pretend to angry smash shit in New York.
Oh.
Even though he finds it all a little beneath himself. But he's like, arg, arg. This movie does have so many good moments,
mm-hmm,
that I do think ultimately it'll be easy for most people to overlook the stuff that doesn't work quite as well.
I'm also going to have questions about that Ancient One scene, too. That when Banner goes and asks about the time stone and he finds out that Doctor Strange isn't there yet because it's 5 years from now. And he tells her that, you know, he looked at 17 million different things and they came up with the one. And she's like, oh, you gave it to him. He gave it to him willingly. Why would he do that and all that? And then she just kind of just gives it to him.
I
know that when I watch this again, I'm going to have a lot of questions about that scene as well.
Yeah.
And just the general Doctor Strange went through 17 million different scenarios and only one worked. And this is apparently the one that worked.
Mm-hmm.
He apparently saw that, we're going to lose, but they're going to learn time travel. Don't worry about it. They're going to go back into time travel. And he saw all of that too. I mean,
he saw the rat.
Yeah, he saw the rat. I mean, you know, and as it, of course, it, I mean, really, Ant-Man is only there just to even bring up the idea of time travel because the fucking quantum realm doesn't even come into it.
Yes, though giant man face-punching that Centauri lizard thing was one of the best yes moments in the whole movie.
Yeah,
even though, even as better. A character, yes, the only reason he was there is to make time travel happen.
He does two things, because watching it the second time, that was awesome. He just fucking knuckles it.
He does.
And then, like, after, who was it, Black Panther, the big protector with the chain and all that stuff for Thanos, I forget his name.
Yeah.
But like Black Panther throws him off, but he's about to punch him, and Ant-Man comes over and fucking steps on him. Like, this is this existential threat in Infinity War, and Ant-Man just fucking crushes him.
Yeah, yeah.
They are either going to yada yada something major moving forward, or they're going to incorporate it. But I think bringing 3.5 billion people back into existence 5 years later creates a whole shitload of social issues that people this movie is not willing to address.
Hell no. No.
Like all the people who thought their partner was never coming back and got remarried.
Yep.
Or started other families or died, or like there's so many issues. And I think Far From Home will tell us a lot about whether they're going to address those issues or just yacht, because he sees Ned at the end there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, did Ned get snapped? Are they in a college hallway? Is this a high school? What's going on here?
Yeah, yeah, I don't know.
Because
yeah,
he's been gone for 5 years. That means he's still 16.
Mm-hmm.
But Ned should be 20, 21.
I think they're going to say that his group of friends has gotten snapped.
Every single one of them.
Yes.
That's convenient.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole thing of convenience throughout the whole thing. Like, Hawkeye's entire family goes out.
Mm-hmm.
Ant-Man's entire entourage goes out. There's just
all the Guardians except for Rocket and Nebula.
Yeah. I'm definitely gonna have a lot of questions for this movie the next time I watch it, and hopefully, maybe they don't have to get answered. maybe I just try to just watch this as it is and everything. But you're absolutely right about this goddamn bringing 3.5 billion people back. And let's not forget also, there's still 3.5 billion people on the planet after this, and they make it look like it's a goddamn ghost town.
Yeah, the Mets cease to exist.
Yeah, the Mets cease to exist. You know that New York would find a way to keep the Mets going.
If they did anything, they would keep the Mets going. Yeah.
Well, you know, at least the Yankees, and then they'll add, we'll worry about maybe the Mets when we're back to 6 billion.
Yeah, maybe they just picked the Yankees for the...
I say 3.5 billion. That's just Earth.
Yeah.
Every other planet that are super important, according to Captain Marvel, because she had to be gone the whole movie to deal with them. Mm-hmm. They all just got half their life back, too. There should be massive consequences to that. I almost wish they would have done alternate timelines instead of time travel. And then at the end, when they win, somebody goes, boy, we really fucked up those other timelines, though. I bet they hate us. And then the future could be like, timeline versus timeline. You stole my stones and my future.
Yeah. And you have, like, the bad guy from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers looking into the crystal ball and being like, holy shit, there's so much unrest in the multiverse.
And then the bad guy from Inspector Gadget strokes his cat.
Next time, Gadget. I'll get you, Gadget. Next time.
So, look, this is a complicated movie.
It is.
There's so much to like. There's so much not to like.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope over the years I will grow to like this more. Not sure about that right now.
So right now, you prefer Infinity War to Endgame.
By mile.
Me too.
Which is interesting. I was expecting myself to be opposite. But I think that's the case for me too.
Yeah, somehow Infinity War has less noise.
I know!
Which makes no sense to me, because my biggest gripe with Infinity War
possible?
Is that's too much noise. So what are you gonna do?
I mean, Infinity War has got so many cool images in it, man.
Yeah.
Blowing up, throwing a moon down, and
I mean, nobody used the gauntlet that creatively in this movie.
Nope,
not at all.
It's true.
Nobody matches Thanos' creativity with the death and destruction.
Yeah.
I know because I man that Facebook. And there's a lot of you out there who love Marvel, and you love this movie, and it's an A+ all the way. I'm sorry that I'm not there with you yet. And I know that on CinemaSins Twitter, there's a bunch of people who probably, I mean, I don't even want to bother with Twitter, because that is a cesspool of just nonsense.
It really is.
If you want to say anything, let's say just one line of this podcast on Twitter, you would get 10,000 people coming after you because how dare you not completely and wholly love something that everybody else loves.
Yep.
Yes. Honestly, every single thing in the world would improve if Twitter went away.
I think you're right.
Everything.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's like a snap.
I think you're absolutely right.
If you had the gauntlet, you could wish for Twitter to go away. And that's it.
Yeah.
I may make a few other things go away.
Okay, that's our mini pod.
It's a mini
It's pretty much a maxi pod at this point. But that's our mini pod on Avengers Endgame. You can go to the aforementioned Sincast presented by CinemaSins on Facebook and tell me how wrong we are about this movie. You can go to CinemaSins Twitter, but just be prepared to not get answers back if you're mean.
You can go to SoundCloud too. No,
yeah, you can
I'll
go
to
SoundCloud.
Nice
to yeah, and look, I'm fine. I'm fine with you loving this movie.
Sure,
I have no problem with it. Just be fine with me that I'm not quite there yet.
There you go.
That'd be great.
Oh, it is.
Anyway, that'll do it for this one. It's Chris Atkins and Jeremy Scott and Barrett Sherr. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.
Yeah, there's a couple that I enjoy, but most of them drive me crazy. And it's crazy to me. Like, I think they must have done some research that people want a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, why have them?
I don't want a DJ.
No, what I don't want are the news breakdowns that every channel has. So now it's time for the Alt Nation news. And
yeah,
this band is going to be at Coachella. And I'm like, fuck you, play a song.
Yeah. What was weird, I happened upon, so Art Alexis from Everclear.
Okay.
You know, the guy with the blonde hair and all that stuff?
I don't know.
Plays the same song every fucking song.
Yes, I know that guy.
He had a talk show on Alt Nation, and I happened upon his last one. And he was like, you know, we're gonna have to close up shop, man. It's been a long ride. It's been really cool. Appreciate your support. But there was a contract decision with Sirius. And he went in like 30 minutes talking about his dispute with Sirius. And he's like, and he peppers it with like, but we're all cool, man. Like, it's all good. Like I'm going to move on to better things. We'll maybe do another Everclear album. And they're going to do their thing. But then he goes back into
that's
it.
Awesome.
I'm like, Jesus Christ, man.
That's awesome.
One thing I was disappointed about with the... And it's not that I've listened to these channels a lot or anything, but Alt Nation, I remember them saying, well, and I think these channels are still on, but they're like, we've got an Alt Nation now for the aughts, the decade of the aughts, when we first started playing, and we have one for this and one for that. So I went to that one that they do for the zeros, and I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to get to hear some of that stuff when I first got SiriusXM that I haven't heard in forever, but it's usually stuff that I can already hear on Alt Nation, and it's just it's just that they play those all the time rather than, and because there was stuff in there I'm like, oh man, it'd be great to hear this song again or this song or this song, and they don't play those.
Well, that's my least favorite thing about Alt Nation is they'll play like three rad songs and then the guy will be like, here's Blink-182, and I'm like, fuck you, dude. I go to another channel for that.
Yeah.
Here's Jimmy Eat World, The Middle. Ah, what? Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I like that song, but I tune in to this station to hear the new shit.
Exactly. All right, are we going to do it?
Do
you have it up? Did you get it up?
I think it's going to progressively get harder.
Thanks for the warning.
That's good to hear.
You're going to be knocking over water bottles and shit.
That's really good to hear. I'm glad that you got over your problem.